Hi, hello. Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women, though all self-lovers are welcome here. I'm Mary. I write and speak about self-love, and I'm best known for my book, The Gift of Self-Love, and I also host retreats for women. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself. Real quick, before we dive in, I want to make sure you know about my book, The Gift of Self-Love. It's a workbook to help you build confidence, recognize your worth, and learn to love who you are. It's available anywhere books are sold. Thousands of people have it, love it, and have told me that it has greatly benefited their self-love journey, and I hope it'll do the same for you. And now let's get into the podcast. Loving yourself means telling the truth. If you aren't honest with yourself, then you literally cannot practice self-love because there is no self for you to love. Or rather, it's a fake version of you that you're trying to love. And in the long run, that'll only lead you to feel emptier and disconnected from yourself, wondering why you keep having that haunting inner voice that's telling you that, something's not right. Sometimes this feeling, this inner voice shows up in our bodies. Like right now, I'm dealing with really intense chronic lower back pain, and I can't for the life of me, it's been over 7 months that I've been dealing with this, I can't figure out where it's coming from. And all the doctors that I visited have said, nothing's like really structurally that bad with you. And you should have been recovered by now. And you shouldn't be feeling the intense pain that you're in. So now I'm like, oh my goodness, I think it's something psychosomatic, something emotional, spiritual. And anytime I'm in this space of like, what am I missing? I come back to the idea of what truth am I resisting? What am I not admitting to myself right now? And that's a big, scary question. Hopefully, I can make it a little bit more digestible in this podcast episode. I've actually done a few, maybe two episodes about this idea of radical honesty before. I did an episode on how to be honest with yourself. That's 212, number 212. And I also did an episode on how to be honest with other people, which is like not people pleasing. That's episode 213. So 212 and 213 were all about honesty. But today I'm leaning more into the spiritual, esoteric side of truth telling. We're going to talk a little bit about philosophy, a smidge about theology, and a smidge about what it means for me to tell the truth and how it is so inextricably tied to self-love. And at the end of this podcast episode, I'm going to confess some of my truths to you. These are things that I've rarely, if ever, have said out loud, but in the spirit of practicing what I preach, I think it'll be good for me to get some of those secrets off my chest. The degree to which a person can grow is directly proportional to the amount of truth they can accept about themselves without running away. Before we dive in, I want to read a positive review from one of our podcast listeners. A fellow self-lover wrote, "I enjoy listening to Mary's podcast before I start my day. She is so genuine and always has something great to say about being on our self-love journey. I remember a phrase that Mary has mentioned that I remind myself of now, not word for word, but something along the lines that our self-love journey is indefinite. We are always working on ourselves. It's a comforting thought. It reminds me that we are only human and not perfect. We make mistakes and mess up, but isn't that what the journey is all about? This show helps to practice positive affirmations and communication toward ourselves so that we can live at peace with our minds and apply the practices externally to others around us." That is literally my ethos, my whole mission and purpose behind the Mary's Cup of Tea self-love podcast. So thank you so much. If you'd like to make my day with some positive words, please feel free to leave a review on Apple. You can also click the star ratings on Spotify or send me a message over on Instagram. Okay, now going back to our topic of truth telling. I started digging around on this topic, and the first place that I went to is Bell Hooks' book, All About Love. If you are interested in love as a philosophical idea and how it connects socioculturally, I really recommend this book. It is dense, I would say. You know, there's some big concepts in there. But of course, she dedicates an entire chapter, chapter 3, to honesty. And one of the things she says is, commitment to truth-telling lays the groundwork for the openness and honesty that is the heartbeat of love. When we see ourselves as we truly are and accept ourselves, we build the necessary foundation for self-love. I couldn't have said it better. That's it. That's the end of the podcast episode. You might as well just stop listening now. I'm just kidding. Please don't. But like, ultimately, that's the idea, that honesty, that truth, self-awareness is the foundation for self-love. It is amazing how many religions emphasize the importance of telling the truth. Sometimes the religions feel so different, but there are core principles within them. And as like a, I don't know if this is Aquarius trait or just being interested in philosophy or my brain, always looking for patterns and things that connect, I find the golden threads of religious teachings quite fascinating. And even though I'm not a religious person, I'm definitely a spiritual one. And seeing that time and time again, honesty is always promoted and lying is condemned, like in the Bible, the Torah, the Quran, in Sikhism, which is one Indian religion that I used to take particular interest in because I dated a couple men before my husband who were Sikh, but that's besides the point. The Sikh guru says that lying is like eating poison. And in Hinduism, truthfulness is called satya, and it's literally a central theme in the Vedas. On top of that, in yoga, satya, truth-telling, is listed as one of the 5 yamas, which are like moral vows. So as a yogi, truth-telling is a yogic practice. And I think it makes sense why. It just spiritually recalibrates our entire being. But going back to bell hooks for a second, in this book, All About Love, that whole chapter on honesty, chapter 3, she, like I said, it's a little more like sociocultural, I suppose. So she talks about how research shows that men lie more than women. It's one of the ways that men obtain power. For example, she references John Stoltenberg's book, The End of Manhood, a book for men of conscience, and it analyzes the extent to which the masculine identity offered men as the ideal in patriarchal culture is one that requires all males to invent and invest in a false self. From the moment little boys are taught they should not cry or express hurt feelings of loneliness or pain, that they must be tough, they are learning how to mask true feelings. In worst case scenarios, they are learning how to not feel anything ever. So bell hooks goes on to talk about how men lie to gain and obtain power, and how women also play into this by also presenting a fake self to gain the attention of a man, to present yourself in a certain way to be more attractive, and to ultimately not speak your truth fully because you have to conform to these patriarchal boxes. And I think we can all look around and see how it's true that statistically men probably lie to others quite a bit more. However, anecdotally, I feel like women, or at least speaking for myself as a woman, I am more likely to lie to myself. And that's going back to those same themes. We lie to ourselves by manipulating our needs, wants, and desires to kind of fit nicely into somebody else's without being a burden, right? All these roles we're taught we're supposed to play, all this shit that we agree to do that we don't really want to do. I mean, that is the epitome of people pleasing. And the more we do that, the more disconnected we are from the truth and ourselves. Bell Hooks writes, "The wounded child inside many females is a girl who is taught from early childhood on that she must become something other than herself, deny her true feelings in order to attract and please others. When men and women punish each other for truth-telling, we reinforce the notion that lies are better. To be loving, we willingly hear each other's truths, and most important, we affirm the value of truth-telling. Lies make people feel better, but they do not help them to know love." Ugh, bell hooks, why do you write like that? Ugh, it's just so resonant. So I started digging around in some of my other spiritual books, and this one is The Four Agreements, which I recommend incessantly. I actually have my retreat attendees read this book kind of before and during the retreat, because it's filled with so much wisdom. The Four Agreements is like four rules for living. And one of my favorite agreements, if you've read the book, I think you can guess which one I like the most. And that is, be impeccable with your word. Be impeccable with your word, which is like, say what you mean and mean what you say, right? But this is how Don Miguel Ruiz explains it. Being impeccable with your word is the correct use of your energy. It means to use your energy in the direction of truth and love for yourself. If you make an agreement with yourself to be impeccable with your word, just with that intention, the truth will manifest through you and clean all emotional poison that exists within you. But making this agreement is difficult because we have learned to do precisely the opposite. We have learned to lie as a habit of our communication with others and, more importantly, with ourselves. We are not impeccable with the word. He goes on to write how being impeccable with your word is not just about communicating with others, but of course, positive self-talk, as cheesy as it sounds. And he literally says that judging, shaming, and blaming yourself is not being impeccable with your word. Talking shit to yourself is a form of lying to yourself, because in that moment, in that energy, you're telling yourself that you should be this, you should be that, you should be better, you should be perfect. But if that's literally impossible, because at the end of the day, we're only human. So every time you judge and shame and blame yourself for things that are only human, you're kind of operating from this deep-rooted notion that you should be above that. Then judging, shaming, and blaming yourself is literally operating from a place of dishonest expectations. So here are three ways that you can use honesty as a way to practice self-love. Firstly, remember that being honest with yourself isn't about confessing all your sins immediately. It's more about checking in and staying grounded within. There's this line that I've been obsessed with. I shared this over on Instagram, but I have to give it an honorable mention here. I'm reading this book called A Swim in a Pond in the Rain by George Saunders, and it basically analyzes Russian short stories. And there's this short story by Anton Chekhov, which is called The Darling. And when he talks about this short story, The Darling, he says, it's about a tendency present in all of us to misunderstand love as complete absorption in rather than in full communication with. And I really love this idea of love and also self-love being not like completely losing yourself in someone else or completely losing yourself in yourself, right? That's when people think of self-love as selfish. They think it just makes you self-obsessed and vain and conceited. Really, what we're talking about when it comes to self-love is that communication. It's that dance of being like, what do you need? How can I help? I'm here for you. Talking to yourself that way too. Hey, self-lover, sorry to interrupt, but do you have my self-love playlist? There's over 300, if not 400 songs on it that are so fun and uplifting and empowering, and I think will really be perfect for when you're getting ready, trying to hype yourself up, dealing with a bad body image day, or anytime you just want a little boost of self-love, these tracks will do it for you. So head to maryscupoftea.com/playlist to get it, and know that I am dancing and jamming with you from afar. Cheers. So this brings me to tip number two for practicing honesty as a form of self-love. Remember that the truth changes. When you know better, you do better. When you have a deeper understanding of yourself, you can also tune in a little bit better. You listen, you're more understanding, you're more open-minded and compassionate. When the truth changes, do not shame yourself for not being the way you were in the past or being the way you could be in the future. One of my most popular episodes this year is called How to Stop Comparing Your Current Self to Your Past Self. And I really went off the rails on that topic. I feel like I just was so exceptionally passionate in that one. And maybe that's why it has been the most popular this year. But I basically talk about this phenomenon of ourselves, like not letting ourselves change and evolve and constantly holding a very rigid idea of our identity or what we should look like or how we should be performing, our energy, like everything has to be completely stagnant and steady and the same throughout our lives, but that does us a disservice. And it's the same thing with the truth. The truth will change. The truth of who you are, the truth of what you want, the truth of what's important to you, the truth of why you're being called to learn this particular lesson in this point in your life, that will all ebb and flow and change. And that's, I guess, the main principle of Taoism, since we talked a little bit about religious philosophy. The main principle of Taoism is that everything is fluid, everything is changing. The only constant is change. So let that truth within yourself also change and be in that constant communication with yourself. That's love, not a complete absorption in, but a constant communication with. Now, quick tip number three, if you are a voracious listener of the Mary's Cup of Tea podcast, you know that I am absolutely enthralled by the power of questions, because asking yourself the right question will take you 80% to the answer. As long as you can phrase your question in an open and meaningful way, then the answer will just like present itself to you. So one question that I ask myself, I actually use this a lot when it comes to content creation. So this will extend into many other areas of your life. But when I'm feeling stuck on like, what do I post? What do I talk about? What do I podcast about? What should my newsletter have in it? I always ask myself, what's real? What's here? And what do I feel? What's real? What's here? And what do I feel? Even today, essentially, when I sat down to plan this podcast episode, I'm like, oh, I really miss podcasting, doing solo episodes like this. And I thought that the right way to go would be like three tips for self-love or three mistakes you're making with self-love, or kind of like that stereotypical teaching content. And I do like doing that sometimes. Of course, it has to be at the right time when I feel totally aligned and that if that feels authentic to me. But right now there's so much going on in my life that I really just wanted to sit and talk like this without teaching something from an empty place, right? So I'm like, what's real? What's here? What do I feel? And I just kept coming back to this idea of radical honesty. I sent my girlfriend a very long voice note. You could almost call it a podcast because it was more than 10 minutes long. And I was talking about what I'm about to share with you, which is these little confessions. Basically, what's been going on in my life is that I had a family emergency. Something happened with one of my in-laws, and we've spent the past 2 weeks in the hospital. Because of my flexible work and my strong language skills, my in-laws don't speak too much English. Navigating the hospital setting and everything going on, I've kind of been thrown into being one of the primary caretakers. And I'm so honored and grateful to do that. I have a pretty rocky relationship with my dad, and my dad's older and he had two strokes that I wasn't aware of. And I was just devastated that I wasn't able to be there for him through that. And so it sounds kind of selfish, but I was just really happy to step into that caretaking role. And one of the things that I did as this all went down is I texted my management team, like my work, I canceled my brand deals, I blocked off my calendar. I'm like, I need to focus on my family and on getting through this emergency and the recovery that comes after. I apologize, I'm losing my voice right now, which feels like a testament to how restricting it can feel to tell the truth sometimes, because it is not our default operating mode. We are so used to politeness and pleasantries and smiling through pain and not really sharing the real stuff that when we do, we kind of choke up, right? And I think that's an interesting somatic experience. So anyway, I cleared my work schedule. I'm like, I can't be on social media. I can't do what I usually do because I am now a caretaker for the time being. And then I had this thought, I'm like, you know, if I'm being totally honest here, I actually really have been desperately wanting to take a social media break for a while. And I took this emergency as an excuse, as a reason to do so. Like I almost like gave myself the permission because something went down in the family. But for some reason, I couldn't do that for myself, like in a proactive way. Do you know what I mean? I was able to take time off to take care of someone else, but I couldn't justify taking time off to take care of myself. And I haven't liked the way I've been showing up online for a while. It's not 100% doing it the way that I would like to be doing it. And I don't know how I would like to be doing it or if I want to be doing it at all, honestly. So anyway, I was just kind of processing all of these thoughts around how quickly I used a family emergency as an excuse to take a break from work as I know it. And then that came with how much I've embraced the caretaker role, which leads me to another truth that I haven't like said out loud fully. I want kids. I know that feels kind of obvious, but I usually, when I say that, I tiptoe around the topic where I'm like, yeah, I want kids someday, whatever. And the reason why I talk like that about it is because I'm so nervous to start trying to have kids, but then be disappointed by it, or I don't know, having some struggles with fertility, which I don't have. Again, this is anxiety. This is literally anxiety, which is like preemptively worrying about something that hasn't been proven true yet. It's just because the past 2 years of being married have thrown some obstacles in that department, chronic pain being a big one. And so being in this like nurturing, caretaking role where I'm not prioritizing my work as much because I'm taking care of somebody in my house, it just made me realize that like I've had this call to be more of a nurturing, caretaking mother figure to someone. And this is the first time to you out loud right now that I'm saying like, I want kids and I want kids soon. I want kids like yesterday. I just hope that happens for me. But you know, I'm trying to trust that it will happen in divine timing. Okay, so that's me answering the question of what's real, what's here, and what do I feel? How would you answer that question? Feel free to think about it to yourself, or you can leave me a comment or message. Another version of that question that might help you dig a little deeper is one from Tara Brock. She's a meditation teacher, and she asks, what am I unwilling to feel? What are you unwilling to feel? In one of her recent Instagram posts, she wrote, often the very emotions that we push away are the ones that hold the key to our wholeness. The very emotions that we don't want to feel are the ones that can unlock our wholeness. So this goes back to being honest with ourselves, telling the truth, naming the feeling, saying the uncomfy reality of what's going on for you right now. Because every time you hold back from the truth, you make fear more important than love. I think bell hooks said it best. Honesty is the heartbeat of love, and that includes self-love. If you're enjoying our self-love podcast, please take a moment to leave a comment or a review letting me know what your biggest takeaway was. As somebody who works mostly behind the scenes on this podcast, I love hearing from you, and it just keeps me connected to the purpose, which is always to spread the gift of self-love.